Yo, 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 welcome. Oh, Cameron, do the intro.
Right now? Yo, 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 welcome to the Bros Who Think podcast. My name is Cameron Johnese, and I'm here with my boy, Lyndon Burton.
What's up, guys? My voice is like really sore and I lost it, so Cameron had to
I might take your job now, dude. It's pretty smooth with that.
Schubert slept at my house and like he the AC
wait, pause.
No, okay, no, listen. So Schubert had the AC on really low and it was blowing on me from like, because I was on my recliner.
What was like
the wind, the AC,
you're digging yourself
fuck y'all,
deeper
bro.
And deeper.
All right, look, this is episode 40. This is the group episode. We got the staff together, and we love doing these end of the month episodes. So everybody introduce yourself. Go.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, it's you.
That's me. What up? It's Lucia. Hey.
Go ahead, Charles.
What's up? It's Charles.
Justin Matisse.
Hey, it's me, Adam Schubert.
Hey, it's me.
Hey, it's me.
Before we go off of Adam, Adam, what happened last night? Because I heard about something blowing on Lyndon kind of hard.
I mean, it's his house, so his AC was blowing however the heck he was blowing it. So
AC, that's fucked up.
However the heck.
That's fucked up because I actually got sick, so like, y'all are just making fun of me. But whatever. The show goes on, ladies and gentlemen, and hey, just bear with me with my voice.
Let me drop these keys
quick. I was just telling everybody, bear with me, but without further ado, Cam, give him the keys.
All right. Maybe it's learning to become more patient or spending time with your family. I try to dedicate time to enjoying life now, and I'm working on my health and anxiety. Just understand that it all takes time. The journey starts with making peace with who you are, accepting that you're one of one, and loving yourself so other people can too. Then give thanks and make sure to live well by making yourself better your way.
Yo, that was an awesome key.
That was a good key,
man. I'm gonna keep it a bug.
So uplifting.
Come over here, bro, so you can like get in with me.
I swear, every time there's a key, it's like, oh man, that hits home. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I feel it.
Yeah, dude, literally every time I just open the book, scroll a couple pages, and I'll find one. So it's all gold in here, man.
And that key's perfect because that leads into what I wanted to talk to right off the bat.
Oh.
Personally, so, I think our milk and vines
I wanted to go light before we went heavy, or should we go heavy then light? What you think?
If whatever you want, man.
Yeah, so we're going to, because, you know, we said we want to do opening salvos and closing salvos, so I wanted to start the opening salvo with this. So yesterday I went to a wedding, and so I was at the wedding, and I didn't go with my significant other. I went by myself. And so I was at the wedding, and I was just, like, sitting there, and it's outside. Beautiful wedding, man. The lakes and the rivers in the back, the lighting. It's beautiful. There's birds flying everywhere. It's fucking beautiful. So I'm sitting at the wedding, and I'm just like, all right. So I've been knowing this guy for a while, and I'm like, all right, so it's real. And then, like, the moment the preacher goes, Mr. and Mrs., insert name here, I was like, yo. He can't, like, text no girl. He can't be doing nothing. It's real. Like,
you got a little
it's
scared.
So real. And, like, not I don't want to say that I got scared, but it just made me realize how real marriage is.
Yeah, it's a lifelong commitment.
And it made me think, like, are we, because my friend who I'm talking about, that he's old. Like, mm-hmm. he is done. He's graduated college. He has a good job. He knows about his life. He's ready. But it leads me back to what we talked about last time about, are we too young to get married? Are we ready? Because when you commit to somebody and you say that they're your wife, it's like you say
there's no take back.
Yeah, there's
man.
No take back. It's through sickness. It's through health. It's through all that good stuff. All that stuff they say, it's there. And I was thinking about this all last night, like about why relationships and why we're having a lot of divorces. And it goes back to that quote that you just read with Khaled about how you have to make yourself better first. And Will Smith, bless his heart, dude, he has Instagram now. And one of the best things he did was he talked about how when him and Jada relied on each other for happiness, they weren't happy. Right. They had to make themselves happy first, and then they bring that happiness together, and then together they're happy with each other because they were happy alone. And I think that's something I just wanted to talk about, just get everybody's thoughts on, about like just your ideas of, do you think it's necessary for that other person to bring you happiness? Because I'm starting to lean on, you gotta know your self-worth, and you gotta create your own happiness first. And I think that's what I attest to a lot of problems with why relationships don't work, because we have these expectations that the significant other will make us better.
Yeah, I was literally thinking about this earlier this week. That's crazy that you brought this up.
Good, great minds think alike, brother.
But 100%, I couldn't agree more. We said it on this podcast before, you can't love another until you love yourself. And that's true. And it's hard to kind of realize when that moment is. It's hard to know when you're ready. But I think that it just takes experiences to understand where you are in that point in time and being honest with yourself. Which
Miss Bell, I saw your face. I want to hear what you think.
Yeah, I kind of think a little bit that whole, like, you can't love anyone until you love yourself thing is bullshit. But I do think that you can't love anyone until you know yourself.
Okay.
Like, I think that if you don't understand yourself and your motivations and what you want, that you can't truly love somebody because you don't know what you want. And you don't know how to love that person in the way that they need.
And maybe it's, y'all, I feel like y'all are both saying that, I think it's the wording that y'all don't agree with.
I think that, like, you can still have, like, self-doubts and issues with, like, the way that you see yourself or the way that you see relationships or, like, that. Like, I don't think that you have to fully be, like, I love myself and I'm, like, completely, like, you know, I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I don't mean it that way.
No, I know you don't. I just, like, think that, like, that adage kind of can sometimes be, like, a cop-out for people. And I'm always, like, that's...
Right. I agree with you. I was just saying that because of the traditional...
No, this is the thing.
Yeah.
I think it's you gotta control your happiness.
It more falls in happiness and insecurities.
Yeah,
once you have a control of those two things, then you pretty much can take anything head on.
Sorry for the technical difficulties, but it's the perfect time to tell you who this podcast is brought to you by. So, this podcast is brought to you by the Legal Distribution Company. Shout out to Birdie Jackson and HustlersVision.com. Change your mind, change your life. At Legal Distribution, we're redefining hustle. When the players that came up before us began, all they had was banging, pimping in the street corners. Now it's the 21st century, and the internet is the new street corner. Fame is the new drug, but money is always the goal. Join us in removing the American stigma of hustling. We no longer need to risk our freedom to make a dollar. That's the Legal Distribution Company. They have some of the sickest clothing. You can find them at hustlersvision.com. Again, shout out to the Legal Distribution Company for sponsoring the Bros You Think podcast. Now, back to the episode.
Sorry about that, you guys. We had technical difficulties, but let's jump back into that conversation with Charles. Go lead off your point, my brother.
So, I hear, like, the insecurities and having insecurities with yourself and the point that Cam was talking about, but, like, I think it's okay to have insecurities as long as you share it with who that person is. I think a lot of reasons that there are divorces now is that people are going for other means of happiness rather than going to their significant other. Because if you think about a relationship in the beginning, the reason you date somebody is because, like, you make each other happy. Like, if you're dating someone and you're in a dark place or you're sad or something and that person can't lift your spirits, then you really shouldn't be with that person because that person truly can make you happy, in my opinion.
Okay, see, I think where you're going with it is... It's different than what we're saying. I say that you rely on yourself for that happiness, but you share it with your significant other. You don't necessarily, they're not the reason why you're happy. They're not the reason that you become happy. You're happy from yourself. Like, you make yourself happy. Cam, would...
Okay, so about insecurities, you definitely always have insecurities, and so I mean identifying them as insecurities, because whenever you don't have something identified as an insecurity, then it just calls for a toxic relationship. So by saying that, I mean having a firm grasp on that note and, like, knowing who you are really is what you're saying, Lucia. But what Toshiba said, I think that's, like, a really good idea, honestly, because people do get addicted to relationships and get dependent on going through life depending on another person for their happiness, which is what we're talking about.
100%.
And so, yeah.
That's my thing. Like, if you become single and you're like that guy that's like, or that girl that's like, I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody to talk to. Like, you don't feel comfortable with yourself if you're not in a relationship. I don't think that's the way to be. Like, you should be able to be happy with being alone. Like, there's nothing wrong with just being alone with yourself.
Yeah. Like, the last relationship I was in, like, and I think that this can happen to a lot of people, is, like, you forget who you are, or you can sometimes change to something that you never wanted to be in a relationship.
You try to fit somebody else's mold.
Yeah. And once that, my last relationship ended, I spent a long time, like, figuring out who I was and, like, being comfortable with myself again and, like, learning what I needed and, like, what made me happy.
100%.
And I mean, that's still a work in progress for me now, but, like, I'm much happier single than I ever was in that relationship. And yeah, I think it's important.
I think it's important that we have people like you say that, because I know, for example, there's a lot of people that I know just that are single and that they feel like they can't get out of that rut, that like they don't know who they are, and they feel that it's their fault that they didn't work for that relationship. And I feel like it's important to hear other people say, no, like, you spend that time to find yourself. And I commend you for saying that on this episode, like 100%. Anybody else have any final thoughts before we close this opening salvo? It's just that wedding really touched me, man. And I
love weddings. They make me so happy.
Out of all my friends, I was the one that was closest to crying. And I told my girlfriend that, and she was like, you big baby. And I was like, no, but it was just so beautiful. Like, that's that shit I love. But that was the opening salvo for this episode. Now we have to go into something not as happy and exciting, but we got to talk about it. So we're going to talk about the Austin bombing situation. We're going to talk about the March for Lives, and we're going to talk about the killing in Sacramento.
That's crazy, man.
So where do you want to start?
This has been a week.
Yeah.
Talk about Austin.
That's true.
Let's start. Yeah,
that's been happening for the last month.
Yeah, let's start with Austin. So
Austin was wild.
I didn't even hear about any of it until like the last one, which is wild to me that like I had no idea that it was happening at all.
Somebody give background on what happened in Austin.
So there were these packages that people were getting on their front door, and it was, you know, some type of pressure sensor, and at first it killed people. Then I know further down the line it ended up injuring people. Yeah. There were a couple packages that weren't intended for people that went to the wrong address and killed somebody or injured somebody. And there was one that was a tripwire. That was people on bikes, two guys on bikes that got attacked. And then there was the FedEx facility where one blew up in the FedEx facility, injuring two people. And I know at the beginning, you know, people are trying to, you know, find that the motive.
Yeah.
And people were asking whether it was a race thing because it was Mexicans and Hispanics and African Americans. Yeah. And then you had two white guys injured with a tripwire.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of information really hasn't come out, but you know, the thing that I don't really understand is why this guy did it, you know, and what motivates you to have a bomb, because packages are like exciting from when we're a kid. Like, package, like, I'm excited when someone knocks on the door and there's an Amazon box, you know? I'm 24. But if there's a, you know, now I'm kind of nervous that there could be a bomb in there.
It's crazy because I think the takeaway that the media has been trying to push is race. But I think the takeaway is this is a mental health issue once again.
Yeah, this dude just sounds crazy.
Yeah, it's something that we don't talk about.
But, like, the thing that bothers me is the avoidance of wanting to call it what it is, which is domestic terrorism.
Oh, 100%.
Because even though there was no, like, that we know of, like, racial motivation or anything like that, like, this guy was doing this to cause terror in people, which is what terrorism is.
We know who it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they've identified.
It was a 23-year-old kid.
A 23-year-old kid.
He killed himself
up. Yeah.
And he left this 50-minute-long video of explaining how he made the bombs, what's the difference between all of them, but he never really kind of explained, like, why he did it.
I think he did that message about explaining the bombs to leave his message to, I think it was that classic thing of like to leave your legacy to like
to
just preserve your message. But you're right, Lucia, and that's another thing the media is not talking about. Not only is it a mental health issue that we should look at it, but they're not calling it domestic terrorism.
Yeah,
America's quick to jump and call America's quick to call everybody a terrorist, but we don't like to talk about our own. And I think that's the issue that we need to really, really, really pay attention, because a lot of terrorism that happens to us, it's on American soil by Americans.
That's what drives me insane, is all of this Islamophobia, and the people that are causing us the most harm in our country,
is
like terrorism wise is us.
Yeah, 100%.
It's American citizens. Like
100%. So the next thing I wanted to do, takeaway, I think in chronological order, would be this, because the march was like yesterday. So, and because we're recording this on Sunday, this will be out on Thursday. So the next thing chronologically would be the Sacramento killings. We watched the video before. Charles, give us just what happened. Just break it down for us once again. Just tell us what happened.
So from what I understand is that there was a police call into the cops late at night. And let's just say it probably wasn't the best neighborhood in terms of issues with cops and stuff like that. And there was someone that was breaking into cars, and the cops showed up, and there was, you know, some broken windows on cars. And next thing you know, that they're chasing after this guy and can't find him. And they finally find him in the back of this yard. I'm not sure if they knew, like, whose yard it was. And in the video, you know, they tell the guy to stop, put his hands up, and a guy yells out gun three times. And you hear, you know, a barrage of of shots from two different guns.
All right. So now let's, Lucia, me, you, and Cam, I want to, like, dive into the story. So let's give, like, the side issues of everything.
Okay. So it was his grandma's house.
Yep.
And, yeah. What was,
he put out a cell phone. He it was his grandmother's house. Two cops shot at him. Three might have hit him, but they shot
the
around.
The copy-old gun.
Yeah, the copy-old gun. And they shot around between anywhere from 10 to 20 shots.
It's insane.
And me, Cam, and Lucy, all of us watched the video before. And it, to me, I understand that they called in for breaking and entry. Like, the guy was breaking the law. But we don't necessarily... They might have identified him. We don't know necessarily if that was the guy.
Right.
And I'm not going to judge it until then, but I'm going to judge it from what I saw. The cop shot this dude, shot over 20 shots, hit him maybe three times. It was just excessive force once again. So my question is, what is the takeaway from this? Like, what do we do? How should we feel? Like, I don't know.
This
know,
was
man.
An awful time for this to happen.
Yeah.
And, like, in the grand schemes of gun violence being talked about right now and then all the other tensions so high at this point, I don't know, man. I don't really know.
See, it's crazy. Let's get some of your thoughts.
I think in any context, shooting that many times is excessive, and
to
like
me.
Is
yeah.
like unless there's a fight back, I don't understand why you would need to. But I think like the biggest thing since this has been happening for a while, a year or so ago, when I used to help edit videos for this company that helps create films in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
We did this series called Better, and it was about stories of Baton Rouge and how to, you know, kind of heal from the flood and the shooting and all of that kind of stuff. And one of the ones that we did was these policemen came and talked to all of these different groups of people about like what to do when you're encountered by a cop, because some people don't know, and like all of this kind of stuff. And I think that like a lot of this is just like could so easily be cured up by like a less reactionary response and like of like a coming to, all right, these are the things that would be helpful for us, for as policemen, for you to do, and like as like black men, like this is the thing that would be helpful for you policemen to do when you're interacting with us, like all of these things that are just, it's just such a reliance on like guns and weapons and force, and not enough of a reliance on like communicating.
And to me,
it drives me insane.
To me, as a cop, I know we've talked about this before. It's just, why shoot the guy? Like,
and why empty your clip?
It's
ridiculous. You guys should go watch the video if you haven't, just to see this guy shoot this gun. It's like Afghanistan.
It's crazy, man. It's just, I think that the way that cops are handling these situations, like Lucy said, there needs to be more communication. Like, if you're a cop, you trained for multiple years
and
on
maybe,
how to, like...
maybe there needs to be better training. Or
yeah.
maybe they need to update their training. I don't know. I mean, I know nothing about how cops are trained. But, like, I don't know. Clearly, it's not working.
That's the
so
thing. Like,
something
we can't
needs to change.
Keep... Because they say this, when you do the same thing over and over and you expect a different result, that's insanity.
Mm-hmm.
So we're basically, this country is just a bunch of insaneness because this shit keeps happening. And there has to be a way we solve this problem. I'm not going to say which side is right or anything. I'm just going to say this, that we need to do better as both sides and just talk. But at the same time, as a black man, it's just like, man, I can't, like, I can't know how to feel. I don't want to be angry, but it's like, how can this, like,
and the cops need to suffer some sort of consequence.
That's my thing. Like, are these cops just gonna get away with it? And it's like, I don't know. And it, and to me, in Lafayette, it's different because we talked about this off air, how the cops have been making a try to communicate with the people. And I applaud the Lafayette Police Department. They've communicated with people, putting on peace walks. They've reached out. But if I'm not in Lafayette, how do I approach a cop? Like, I don't know if, like, when I go to Broussard and get pulled over, they're some of the worst police in Louisiana. Is that my last time? I don't know. And it's like, somebody could say, oh, Lennon, your parents are this and this and this and this. But it's like, yeah, but that shit doesn't fucking matter, because at the end of the day, they don't know that. They just see an African-American kid, and I don't know if my time's last. So it's like, I don't know how to feel, but something has to change. It just can't continue this way. And I don't know what it's going to take, but I just want to send my prayers to that family.
Yeah,
and
bro.
Shout out to DeMarcus Cousins, because he paid for the funeral.
That's crazy.
Shout out to Boogie, man. Boogie, you're a real one. And I just want to send our prayers and everything. And yeah, bros, you think I had to talk about it. So next thing, final thing that we're going to talk about that's sad is the Walk for Lives. And I'm going to make sure that I emphasize Walk for Lives, because I know
March
that
for Lives.
March for Lives, yes, March for Lives. Because I don't, because when you say March for Life, that ins, that insinuates something else, and that, and we know that certain people wouldn't want to do that, and certain people are for that, and it's just, it's offensive to all parties involved. So I'm just gonna say March for Lives. I'm not gonna say March for Life.
Gotcha. I think that's what it is. March for Lives.
So what do y'all just, I just want to get general thoughts on March for Lives and everything that's been going on with that situation.
It's inspiring as hell. Yeah. I was not doing that at 18 years old.
One of the coolest things about these kids too is that they are so self-aware of why that they are getting this attention and how they're able to use this platform. And they have mentioned many times, like, in predominantly Black or Hispanic communities where this happens all the time, and like, they don't get listened to, like, we need to speak for them as well, and like, that's something that needs to be, like, they're just incredible kids for being
my whole thought process is on this is this. I have two takeaways. The one, I applaud those kids. I applaud all of them. The courage, the self-awareness, the intelligence to speak up. Incredible. I applaud you guys. My second takeaway is this. I'm appalled at the media trying to get these kids to fit an agenda that they want. Well, on both sides, because I've seen it on both sides. CNN doesn't talk about the conservative kids, and Fox just bashes the liberal kids. I've seen it on both sides. So it's, don't use these kids to fit an agenda. These kids have went through a traumatic experience, and if you're gonna use them to fit your Republican agenda or your liberal agenda, it's not right. It's not right at all, and you're abusing what these kids are standing for. These kids want to have an open dialogue to fix things, but you're trying to fit your bias, or you're trying to fit your agenda. That's what I just didn't like throughout all of this. Everybody was trying to fit their agenda throughout this whole thing, and that's my biggest takeaway from it that I think we got to fix.
So my thoughts on it were, I really don't agree with the kid who's leading. The kid from the school that's leading
it. He's talking about the male kid, not the female kid.
Because I just don't think he's the right person for the movement, you know, because he's, just the way he comes out, he just, you know, he's like gung-ho for his thing, and it's, we need to get rid of all guns. You know, that's the opinion I've heard. And a lot of things I saw from yesterday were, not to compare, but it was like, you know, with the LSU fraternity things, they got rid of tailgating on the parade grounds, which had nothing to do with a kid dying. You didn't address a kid dying. It's like this, you know, I saw signs that had absolutely nothing to do with the school shooting yesterday, and I saw lots of them. And it's crazy to me that people are trying to bring all these other things, like Lyndon said, all these other agendas to this one issue. And while I think that there should be gun reform, I think that the laws that are in place right now that aren't being enforced should be enforced. You know, gun shops should have consequences for when they don't follow the rules, you know, when background checks aren't done right and things like that. You know, at the same time, it's like, man, you know, you want to improve so much, but at the same time, like, if all these kids are doing it, and yes, kids have a powerful voice, but it's really the adults that are making the decision. And until I see some adults that are coming out with some solutions, because the only solution I've seen is ban all guns. That's the only thing I've really seen, or ban assault rifles, which we understand what an assault rifle is, but people really don't know what an assault weapon is because there's not really a definition for that. And if you say it's an automatic weapon, you can't really buy that. I mean, we talked about that in the last time we all met. So, you know, my side of it is that, yes, there needs to be some reform, but I've never seen a situation where you go into an argument and you're all about your side and you're not all about meeting in the middle. And I think there needs to be some ground where there's, you know, people are meeting in the middle on this.
Well, I've seen a lot of people argue for gun reform, not necessarily get rid of all guns. I thought that was the main agenda pushed, honestly. I don't know. I think the girl, Emma Gonzalez, she's been killing it.
That's whom I applaud the most.
I read that she, like, stood on stage silently for 6 minutes, the amount of time that the dude was in the school shooting. That's very, like, super powerful, yeah, and, like, peaceful and impactful.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, to me, this shows that this up from our generation down, we get it. These kids, we have to find a leader amongst us, But these kids get it to a certain extent to where we know change is coming. Some sort of way. Change can come. It's just how we do that change.
And as far as like the passion of the young man, I mean, was put in a very hyper situation.
Yeah.
And like for him to be that passionate about it, I'm not gonna really fault him. He shouldn't be the one to lead every discussion, but the media picks him up because he's the most.
And that's my thing. You know? Back to the media trying to fit their agendas.
But I think coming away from that, I saw it as more of a march for gun reform. I don't necessarily know of like getting all guns. That won't work.
Yeah.
Or shouldn't work. I mean,
and that's where I'm at too. I saw it as something to where we can try to like start a conversation.
Right. Yeah.
To start a conversation, you have to go so radical that you make people realize that, oh, shit's wrong.
And that's like, and one thing that you pointed out is something that the kids have continuously pointed out, that they shouldn't be the ones to be talking 100%. Right now. Yeah. The adults should be. So it is up to the adults to actually make the laws and do the reform. It's not the kids' job to come out and like try and restructure the Constitution.
100%.
It's to be, this is what we want, and now it's up to you guys to change that.
Another
and
thing like, that I think these kids showed is that if these kids have enough gusto and just guts to just step out and say something,
right?
Why can't a fucking adult do that? Like, why can't a fucking adult stop worrying about their agendas and just no matter what side you stand on, you have to say it to start the conversation. It can't be these kids.
And like negotiating 101, you ask for more than what you actually want in return. So if the kid's saying, I want taking away all guns, and then you get reform, you still win at the end of the day.
Look at that business mind on my partner right there, baby. Look at that business mind.
I mean, like, personally, I don't like guns, but do I think that all of them should be banned? No, because that's not realistic and it's not going to help anything and piss everybody off. But
yeah, there has to be there's a fine line in the middle that we have to find it, because like I said, continuing to do the same thing over and over and expecting change is insanity, and we're a very insane country right now. If we're just going to call it what we see it, we keep doing the same fucking thing. When something happens, we march about it, we talk about it for 2 weeks on Twitter, it goes away. Happens 2 months later, same thing. The cycle repeats itself. We have to figure a way to stop that. Charles.
And I have a question for y'all before I pose that question. I think it's something that we can all agree on, is that mental health needs to be improved in to a degree. You know, they always talk about, oh, there's mental health reform, but I haven't seen it. I see mental health as being more of a problem. I see, you know, more drugs are being prescribed and you see more issues coming out of it. You know, whether it's an issue where we're all connected with something, you know, we're not interacting well together. I don't know what's going to improve it, but I don't remember, you know, school shootings and mass shootings, bombings happening growing up. And then my other thing that I was going to say was that, oh, crap, I forgot it. It's going to come to me.
Yeah, we'll just continue. To your point about remember it growing up, I don't remember happening as frequently, but I definitely knew that shit was happening.
Yeah.
Like 100%. Like we had Columbine, we had VT, they had school shootings. But the thing is, this has been going on, and we keep. It's back to what I say. We can't keep doing the same thing and expecting change. We got to do something different. And to do something different, we got to elect this is the time where we get on the ground. You have to elect senators. You have to elect the right representatives. If these people aren't doing what you want, you have to elect somebody that will. And if they don't do it, as millennials, our vote matters, because we're the people who aren't voting. So what I want this podcast to do is to find, not necessarily say we're going to vote for this person, but rally up millennials to get people to vote, because if we vote for the people that are gonna at least talk about it, that's a fucking start. Because at least the people in Congress right now, we can at least say this, no matter what, everybody who's in charge right now and who has been in charge weren't doing shit. We weren't doing shit. We weren't talking. So we got to start this conversation, Charles.
And don't just vote. Bring your ideas to the table.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, social media is a platform that not only can an athlete get something out, but we see it. We're all on Twitter. Random tweets, like, in a day or two, we'll have, like, 500,000 views.
100%.
And you know people are seeing that. You know staffers and politicians will see that. But here's my question. So I'm not sure how much validity was to this, but I know I heard something about, like, the clear backpacks coming out. And a lot of these kids that went to the, it was Parkland, right, where the shooting happened. were like really upset about it and didn't want to have clear backpacks. And so like I see that one is kind of a move towards safety, because I think Lafayette's like that. I think like high schools in Lafayette, public schools have to have mesh backpacks. Yeah. So you can't carry a gun or a knife or something like that into school. Like, I know I wouldn't want a mesh backpack and I think it looks stupid, but if it's for my safety, you know, no matter what school I went to, like, what's y'all's opinion on that? Because I would say that if I was still, you know, in high school or middle school, like, I would be for that, because I think that that's a safety issue and improves safety.
I think people are upset about it because it seems like a Band-Aid solution to a gunshot kind of thing. Like, I think it's like, sure, that can help, but, like, it like, there are still people bringing guns to school. Like, and, I mean, and 100%. Who knows? Like, that could still, that could not do anything. 100%. And, like, no, I wouldn't do nothing, no. But I think that, I mean...
No, but you're right, because...
But
if that's the only thing you want to do, yeah. Right? Like, I don't think that it's a bad idea necessarily, but I think if that's the only thing you want to do, if you want to just...
That's a problem.
Everybody have mesh backpacks, and then this will go away, yeah, and then that's the
problem. Definitely don't leave it there with mesh backpacks or clear backpacks.
Because I understand where you're coming from.
But
because
it is an attempt at a solution, but you know, you're still only treating the symptom and not the disease.
Because I agree with you. I think that should happen. But me thinking that should happen and what I would do after is something completely different than what those politicians are going to do. Those politicians think we're going to just say, oh yeah, clear backpacks. We're going to maybe put metal detectors and that's it. And then we're not going to talk about this ever again until a school shooting happens with those clear backpacks and with those metal detectors. So I agree with you. It's a step, and that's something that should happen. But like Lucia said, I also agree with her. This can't just be a Band-Aid. Because like Cam said, this is a disease. We're not just going to sugarcoat this. We got to find a cure for this disease.
And talk
it's
to
a, it's
and
a back step to, along the right way.
And to your point about mental health and how it's you mainly are resorting to pharmaceuticals, I completely agree with you. It's really hard to start there because those are two completely separate entities, because like the pharmaceutical companies and everything, all
that's
the strings
that bring down Big Pharma. Yeah. 2018. I have so much hatred for big for pharmaceutical companies.
Next episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a
bringing
whole,
down pharmaceuticals.
That's yeah, a whole different rabbit hole. That, but I agree with you. That's but, like yeah. When you dive down that, that's something completely.
But yeah, mental health should be focused on, man.
100%. I think we touched on that very well on the last episode.
I think that a lot of people like, oh, just prescribe this medicine and that treats it, that fixes everything. But that's not. I mean, you need to learn how to cope with mental health issues in various ways and in healthy ways, and you can't just take a pill and everything go away.
100%. I agree with you guys. Well, I think we covered this enough, don't y'all think? We touched on the serious topics. You guys, let's have some fun now.
Woo!
All right, so you know, at the end of the month, we get together as a staff. Oh, shout out to our girl, London. She was feeling bad this week. We miss you, girl.
Out.
We send you our love. Shout out to London.
She had quite the L ridden week.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I love you, London.
We send our loves to you.
Shout out to Chris. Get well.
Yeah.
Yes.
100%.
Yes, and Chris's appendix bailed. So
yep, 100%.
Shout out to both of them.
Shout out to them, because we love them and we can't wait to get London back. So let's get into these questions. We got some Take the L questions. We got some movie questions. We got some love questions. We got some Bros Who Think questions. So let's start off first with this question that Miss Lucia got for movies.
Yay!
So first question is this. Lucia, I saw 3 billboards behind Ebbing, Missouri. It's funny because we talked about this in our group chat.
Yeah, we sure did.
And I didn't want to say anything in our group chat because this was the question.
Okay.
I didn't necessarily like the ending.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that I wanted to see more of a resolution happen. What is your opinion on the ending of 3 billboards?
And I got opinions.
I thought it was funny because I didn't want to say anything in group chat. That's why I didn't say anything, because I wanted to get y'all's.
So I think... Is the ending satisfying? No. But does it make sense to me completely? Yes. Because Martin McDonagh, if you've seen any of his other films, is very much a realist kind of cynical writer.
Yeah.
He's not a very uplifting writer, obviously.
Yeah.
But like for me, and this goes into spoilers, so spoiler alert,
spoiler
I guess.
Spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
But people complain like, well, we never caught the guy that raped and murdered her daughter. Like, that's, you know, like we never see that come to a conclusion. And like, well, but like that's life. Like, sometimes you don't ever catch the bad guy, and sometimes things get you know, you can try to help things all you can, and sometimes it's just not enough. And you know, not saying that the sheriff probably didn't do enough, but like that's, you know, that's also like, yeah, it's sometimes you don't. And that other guy, was he a shitty guy? Yeah. And did he like beat the hell out of him? And he probably hurt somebody else. Yeah. But he didn't, you know, like, and that's, and that, that whole episode, I think, was a catalyst for Sam Rockwell's character to be able to change and to be able to kind of develop his character more. But yeah, I mean, I like the ending in the 100% context of Martin McDonagh films, and of making it making sense to me that like sometimes the day isn't always saved and it's depressing.
I like that take that you have, because I think that's what makes Martin McDonagh's movies so special, that
yeah,
it mirrors real life to the best of most directors. They don't do that. They don't show the gray area, but he lives in the gray area.
Yeah.
Like we talked about in the chat, In Bruges. That's yeah, one of my favorite movies. But that
I
movie
love In Bruges. Is, it ends, it's so depressing 100%. The way it ends. But like, but I just think that it's, and I distinctly remember seeing it in theaters and hearing him, like seeing him overhear that guy talking, and I was like, that would be too perfect for a Martin McDonagh movie. Like I remember thinking that, like, oh wow, like that would be so like incredible and satisfying. But then I was like, that's not Martin McDonagh style. 100%. Like that's not how this is gonna end. But like it's a nice little like, oh man, like maybe he did, yeah, kind of. And you still get a little like bit of Frontier Justice with the whole like, you know, encounter, but it's still, you know, not the day's, yeah, not saved.
No,
and
100%.
That sucks, but that's life sometimes.
I want to get everybody else's take, who's seen the movie. Charles, Adam.
So I saw this movie like 48 hours ago and like put in the group how disappointed I was because I heard about all the awards it was up for, and like I was bashing this movie, and I watched it with my girlfriend and we were both like, fuck this movie. Like it was depressing from start to end, and it just ended like abruptly. And like I said, it was a cliffhanger, and Schubert was like, oh, biggest cliffhanger ever. And Lucia comes in and was like, but that's how the movie's supposed to be. And I'm like, wait, this movie just like made me have like a lot of emotion at the end, and I kind of liked it, but at the same time I'm still mad at him. But like it invoked a lot more emotion than a movie normally does, because movies don't always make you feel sad and like pissed off. Usually they're always happy, or you know, something, you know, there's like happy moments. There was not a single happy moment in this movie
much.
And it did a great job of showing like the daily struggle that I think you do see like on a small, you know, small level police department, and fighting an issue where, you know, you saw in his letter when he wrote to her, like, they didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And the detective went and tried to match the DNA, and it didn't match. Like, it's a cold case, and it's like real life. That kind of crap happens. And mm-hmm, if they were going to follow it 20 years down the road, maybe they would find the killer. But, I mean, you can't do that in a 2-hour movie. So, yeah, it invoked a lot of emotion from both my girlfriend and I. She's still pissed about it, but, like, I kind of felt like it was a little bit better because of what it did for me.
That shows how good that movie is, because whether the emotion was a good emotion or a bad emotion, it invokes something out of you. So maybe not, let me not say that shows it's a good movie, that shows it's a compelling movie.
Yeah.
I think that's a better way. Schubert, what'd you take, my brother?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the way it ends works, because I don't think finding the killer was the point. You know, I don't think that the point of the movie was that we needed to know who the killer was or find the killer. The point was that it was about someone who feels like they're not getting the justice that they deserve, and they go for it, and this is how people react to it. And it's about her journey as a character, and about also Sam Rockwell's journey as a character of someone who is on the wrong side of it, you know, very ignorant, very aggressive to people that he doesn't need to be aggressive to, for, and he's a problem with drinking and all this. And you kind of see these two characters build off of this one incident, and you see like someone who's fighting for her personal justice and getting, you know, shat on by everybody basically, and then you have a guy who's working his hardest to be this ignorant cop, the example that everyone wants to point to as a bad Southern cop basically, and eventually he figures out that he was wrong, and he is trying to make himself a better person. I think it had a lot to do with Woody Harrelson's character, and I feel like that's why his death was the, you know, almost the pinnacle of the movie, and getting the sense of what he really felt in those letters, you know. So he really kind of, it's not about finding the killer, it's about the stories in between the moments of the billboards.
And that's exactly what I love so much about Martin McDonagh's films, is that they're not really ever plot-driven. driven. Like, there's an inciting incident, and then it's about people's reactions to that inciting incident. And it's about, it's like a very humanist look on like instances. Like in Bruges is really, there's really no plot. There's there's an inciting incident at the very beginning of the movie, and then it's about their reactions to that for the whole movie, pretty 100%. Much. And it's really compelling, and I just think it's a really interesting, honest way to be able to
He's a very
look at
interesting
people.
Storyteller, mm-hmm. 100%. So the next question, I'm going to get Cam to read because my voice is getting worse. So Cam, take it away.
All right, so bros who think, urgent advice needed.
Urgent.
Yeah. So I've been dating this guy I met on Bumble for 2 months now, and things are going really great. Only problem is I'm going to graduate school almost 400 miles away in May and don't know if we should try to make it work long distance. Would love to hear what y'all think. How do I know if I'm making the right decision?
Okay, so there's a lot of there's a lot of things that I would want to ask questions for because you know, you've been together for 2 months, and you know, sometimes, you know, at first instance, and I was thinking, okay, leave him. I mean, it's a two month relationship. You're going away. Sad. I mean, you don't really understand the circumstances. Like, maybe they think that they have a really great connection. You know, maybe it just really clicked. I mean, just because they met on Bumble doesn't necessarily mean it's a forced relationship. It could be two people who actually really clicked and feel like there could be something going. I mean, we don't know what his side of the story is. Maybe he just has to stay through his school, and then maybe he can meet her out. And, you know, you never know what might end up happening with that. So I feel like we can't necessarily be too gung-ho on break up with him. But I mean, it's just something to think about. There's a lot of things that aren't, and like, a lot of questions that are still there.
So to give a little context, guy's about to graduate law school and has a job, so he can't move over there with her. But, like, she actually means, like, this guy means a lot to her. So I think, to give context so y'all have a better opinion, like, I asked this person the other day, you know, we had a question where we were talking about, you know, someone hooking up with somebody else. And I think I posed a question, if that person hooked up with someone, would you be upset? And she said yes. And she said the same thing for him, like he would be upset. So their relationship obviously means something. Like, I think it's an important relationship. And in my opinion, I think that giving it long distance a try is worth it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But you never know till you try.
I have a question. And I immediately have forgotten it. Never mind. But it'll come back.
Okay, well, also, they've been dating for 2 months. By the time May hits, it'll be around 4 months. I think that's a long enough time to really be honest with yourself and say, I can see this working, I can't see this working. If you really, you know, if you really think it could work, go for it. If you don't think that it will work, it might be best to make this move on your own. But it's all about, at the end of the day, being honest with yourself.
100%.
Are they exclusive right now or like casual? Exclusive. Okay, so this is like a relationship. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, and this is a very probably, I don't know, fluffy kind of answer, but like I am very much, well, I'm a romantic, and also like I am very much about like risking it, because worst case scenario is that it doesn't work out. So like and if it doesn't work out, it wasn't supposed to. Like, I really do believe that. So I mean, like, yeah, like Cam said, like by the time that you get to that, that's 4 months is a pretty good amount of time to be able to realistically be honest with yourself if you can handle that kind of relationship, because it will be difficult if you do go into that. But it's, I mean, if it's worth it, or if you even think that there's like a chance that it's worth it, then I think you should go for it.
I want to say this because I know she's going to listen to this. If you're in a situation where you're scared of getting hurt, and at the end of the 4 or 5 months, whenever you leave, you know, and go off to school 400 miles away, and you're scared about being hurt by this person, and you're not willing to risk it getting hurt, then the person doesn't mean that to you. But if you're willing to like risk like almost your sanity, because that's what a breakup, you know, really can do, then you know, you stick it out and you try it and you write letters, like, come on, notebook crap.
Yeah,
come on, let's get
notebook
it.
Crap. I agree 100%. Being vulnerable is not overrated.
No, not at all.
And if Lennon listens to this, she will call me out, because we just had a conversation about this and I said the opposite. But in this case, being vulnerable is not overrated.
My one piece of advice, this definitely warrants a serious sit-down conversation, like, because...
Definitely.
You could go out to, I think it was, South Carolina or something. So,
too much information.
Far away, 400 miles. 400 miles.
That's why Schubert should not be on the mic, clown. And he's my voice is messed up. He's giving away personal information.
Bro, I haven't said anything legit. I'm saying, I don't even know. So, here we go.
Alabama
is confused about his cousin.
But what you do is you have to have a conversation like, okay, so you never know what's going to happen when you're in wherever you're going to be because you could stay. And if they're not in a place where they can compromise to leave or you can compromise to leave, then, like, that's something you need to pretty... See, you could probably see that down the line. If you think that you're gonna go out someplace and then come back, and then that's something that you can maybe make it work. But like, if you're going out there and you think you're gonna stay out there, and like, there's no feasible way to make that make a middle ground, then like, you gotta cut it loose.
But that being said, people have weathered that if they have strong relationships. People have been together in long distance relationships and lived apart, far apart, for multiple years, and then end up moving closer together or end up moving in the same city. But I mean, it can happen, but it's going to be hard.
The two things that have to be taken into consideration are, can you handle a long distance relationship, and can he handle a long distance relationship? If you're a really jealous type of person and you're just going to be creating scenarios in your head that are just non-existent and just going to create more stress for yourself, that's something that you need to really focus on, because that's going to come up a lot in the long distance relationship. It just naturally will.
100%. I think y'all answered that question pretty well. Camera.
We're professionals.
So it's going to be 2 years at most. And, you know, you can come back after that. Like, if you can stick it out, you know, stick it out. But to just wrap it up before we move on to the next one, what is y'all's opinion? Like, if they're both willing to, like, try to make it work, do you think they should give it a try?
Yeah.
I mean, I say yes.
I mean, if they're both willing, then yeah. But, like, I think they should... Definitely.
No buts, Lyndon. Love is real.
Listen. I think they should definitely take time to, like, this time apart, figure themselves out. And when they come back, if they still feel that connection, let it ride, baby. Let the love be real.
I don't know. That's pretty extreme. Yeah, and also, that's a long... That's a long time to, like, let it ride.
No, I'm saying, like... I'm not saying let it ride. I'm saying, like, get back together.
No, I know. Okay. That's a long time to be apart and then, be like, oh, let's let it ride. Like,
let it ride.
2 years is, like, you could change drastically.
Please change your bio to just let it ride.
I got you.
All right,
I think
we talked that question.
Yep. Next question, brother.
All right, next question. What is your opinion on friends with benefits? I'm so sick of just dealing with relationships, but I have needs and I'm scared to try. What do y'all think?
I got personal experience with this one.
And this is specifically for Take the L, because this was a female.
Oh, it was. Okay, question. Perfect. Okay, friends with benefits can work. It can work. But you both have to be on the same page of it being friends with benefits. Don't pull this bullshit of, oh, it's going to be friends with benefits, but I actually have feelings for him and he'll develop feelings for me after. No, no, he won't. He won't. Don't even try to trick yourself into that. Don't do yourself that disservice. If you truly just want casual sex out of this and you're friends and you're comfortable with this person, then by all means go for it. But if you have this, like, hidden motive, or you're going to, like, you think that there's any possibility down the line that you'll develop feelings for him and you don't think he will, and it's going to be a communication issue, then don't dive into that. But
I think that's,
if you're
the
type of person
thing
that you can handle it, then by all means go for it.
Especially on the male side, you have to make them know that, like...
Yeah, you have to be very clear. Yeah, for the guys listening to this, you have to be clear. And,
yeah.
But not in a condescending, you can't fall in love with me kind of way.
No.
But you just have to have like an open, like, hey, this isn't what I want right now. Just 100%. Being upfront with you.
Like, my dad always told me the way that I should live my life is, don't lie to a woman. No matter what, just tell her the truth. Like, if you want to be friends with her, tell her you want to be friends. Like, if you want to be a girlfriend with her, tell her you want that. But don't lie and say, I want friends with benefits, but at the end of the day, you want to be a girlfriend. So, yeah.
If there's anything that No Strings Attached has taught me, is that, like, there's no way to, like, be friends with benefits for a prolonged period of time, like, and I don't think there should be, like, the sleeping over type of thing, like, and at the same time, there shouldn't be, like, oh, we fuck, and then one of us just leaves, because the other person's gonna get hurt, you know, in the long run. But I think that if you're going to be friends with
sounds
benefits...
Sounds like you shouldn't be doing friends with benefits if you're going to get hurt. Yeah. Because the whole purpose of it is that you're fucking without emotion.
Hold on. So where I'm going is that if you're going to have friends with benefits and, like, you have a person that, you, like, you're banging, like... You should have multiple people you're banging. Like, you should go out and bang other people. That way you're getting it from more than one person. Because if it's just one person, a relationship's going to form. Feelings will form if you're just banging one person over and over again.
You know, that is true. I was not sure where you were going with it, but you are correct on that front. I agree with that.
He tied that bow pretty well.
I was like, where is he going? And then...
I love doctor.
Yeah, okay, so I think... Oh, yeah. No, I'm not going to the next question.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, what I was going to say was... go for it,
Cam. Lost it.
Okay, so being a guy, being in a situation like this, it really does usually fall on your lap to talk about it initially, be very clear about it, and then bring it up more than once. If you feel like she's might be catching feelings a little too strong, address it again, but in a very respectful way, and do it correctly. Don't, like Lucia said, don't be condescending, because it can be really easy to be condescending sometimes.
It's incredibly annoying when a man tells me not to fall in love with them.
Well, no, never say that. That is just ridiculous.
Oh, I've gotten told that.
Wow. just be super honest.
This is trash. I understand that too.
A relationship is not what you want right now, and you enjoy their company, but kind of ends there, you know? And if they're an adult enough to deal with that, then let it ride. And if they're not, maybe you should be the bigger person and don't just drag her along if you recognize it happening either.
There's one way that I've really seen it kind of work well is being friends first, kind of. You know, when you have the opportunity to that you're doing something like that with a friend first, then you already kind of have this... idea of what your friendship is, because if you do it with like someone that you're like, oh well, you know, there's this girl that I know that I could probably like have a thing with, like you guys don't have any relationship besides, you know, sex, so like that most actual relationships start off with sex. Mm-hmm. So like it's hard to, you know, you're right, you have to be upfront and honest with them, but it's much easier to do something like that with someone that you're more comfortable with. So I would, if someone wanted to be in a friends with benefits relationship, I think it would be better if they were to do it with someone that they were more comfortable with.
Alternative, find someone whose personality that you absolutely hate, but have great sex with, and then it's fine.
Interesting.
But if you have sex with them a lot, eventually they will grow onto you and you'll like their bad habits. It just happens, but yeah. I will say, episode 40, Let It Ride, because that's what we're going with here.
That's the name, Let It
That's
Ride.
The name. But, all right,
Last thing. To Schubert's point, you can't pick somebody that you have a relationship already with, because that's how you fall in love.
I don't mean like relationship, like, you know, especially you don't try and be friends with benefits with exes. That's a whole different.
Oh my God.
Don't do that.
Don't even ever bang an ex. Just
exactly.
Don't.
Exactly.
Don't go back there.
Yeah, exactly. But so with friends, but I mean like there are times where like that's just the best way to do it, because that's already someone that like you have a rapport with. It doesn't have to be like your best friend or anything, like someone that you have a really close relationship with, but I mean like someone that you know well, they know well, and like you know that they're not interested in you, that you know they're not interested in
someone
them,
you feel
like,
comfortable with.
Yeah, someone you feel comfortable with, because that makes it easier than, because there's not a lot of questions being asked.
100%. I just needed clarification, because the way that you phrased that made it seem like, oh yeah, this was my friend before, like we have something in the past.
Okay, I really want to move on to this next question.
This is a perfect London question.
All right. So, yeah, for real.
She's not here.
All right. My boyfriend has been watching animal and hentai porn. Should I be concerned?
I will take a look at that. Yeah, fuck all men. You should probably leave him, because there's something fucked up with that guy, mentally, physically, and sexually. So should probably just run away.
To be fair, London would be like, embrace your weird fetish fantasies, who cares? But she would also say fuck men at the same time.
As long as he keeps it at porn... All right, wait.
All right, bro. Wait. She said right,
animal porn. Okay, yeah.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
Wait, okay.
Legitimately.
To clarify, is animal porn videos of animals having sex or of people having sex with animals?
I assume.
Oh, God.
I assume
so
people.
Many questions.
I assume people. Yeah, it's gotta be.
People have so bestiality.
Yeah, bestiality. I just assume,
that's illegal. Yeah.
But that's all over the internet. That's all there.
Are they wearing animal uniforms?
That's something completely different.
That's a whole another ballgame.
It could be a furry. It could be a furry.
Yeah, I was gonna say it might be a furry.
We need more clarification. First off, but hentai porn is cartoon porn. Just for those who don't know, that's cartoon porn.
He's not very good at hiding his search history.
Yeah, apparently, if you know about it.
If he can't even hide his search history, I don't know. You know,
has he asked her to watch this?
Yeah, I hope he hasn't
maybe
asked her.
Maybe it's going to be a bonding experience. I'm not I think that as a couple, okay, you know.
Sounds like you want to watch it.
Well, no. I'm just saying, like, if, you know, I think to an extent, in a relationship, you should entertain the other person's fantasies, even if they're not your fantasies, but to an extent.
Yeah.
But I don't know. If this bothers you, then maybe have a conversation with him about it.
Yeah, just don't fuck a dog for him.
Yeah, please don't. Christ. Please don't. There's an entire Kevin Smith movie about that. And it's
what you said about how you should entertain certain people's like fetishes to an extent. And I think that allows for cheating to less happen because if you're open,
not giving it to them, they're going to get it somewhere else.
Exactly. And if you're open and you tell people what you love. But not that, Cam. That's
I'm not saying go fuck a dog. That's not what I'm saying.
I think you need to ask whoever this is, like, why this is occurring. Like, ask him like what turns him on about this, because you don't just who watches a porn just to like watch it, like who watches I didn't even know there was animal porn, didn't know there was cartoon porn either. So
definitely cartoon porn. All right,
yeah, like 100%
hentai porn. I wouldn't have as strong of a problem with.
Yeah, me neither.
But animal porn, that's a situation.
But don't attack. don't go at him in an attacking manner.
Yeah. Yeah. Bottom line, like, want to have a conversation with him about it. Be like, hey, I noticed this. I'm not judging you, but like, I want to know more about this and like how I can help you in this.
And if you have a dog, never let him babysit.
And if it's bestiality,
stop it.
If it's bestiality, baby girl, you gotta tell him stop because they're gonna raid your house. The FBI will come eventually. If it's real bestiality porn, you gotta stop that
because
the FBI is coming. And I just want it to be known, FBI, if you listen to this, bro, they told you to stop.
We do not condone bestiality.
Next question, brother. We're letting it ride.
All right.
It's getting worse.
So Lyndon doesn't lose his voice. I'll ask this next question. Last week I went on a Tinder date and got catfished majorly, but I enjoyed the date and I liked it. But IDK if I should trust them. What should I do?
That was a weird question when I opened it.
Wait, so you got catfished, but you were okay
but
with
she
it.
Liked it?
Okay, the way I interpreted it is he got catfished because it's a he.
Oh, okay.
He got catfished, but he liked her personality.
Okay.
So like, but should he trust her?
But okay, so
the ultimate.
This depends on to the extent of the catfishing. Because if it's just like outdated pictures of her where she like looks a little different, then like that's one thing. But if it's like literally like models pictures ripped from the internet, then that's problematic.
I got background on this because I wanted clarification, so I emailed him back. And I was like, yo, so like explain this just a little bit more. And basically what I got from it was that she used not necessarily a model's picture, but she didn't use
her real picture.
So it wasn't her.
No, it wasn't her.
All right, I don't trust somebody that does that.
Yeah, me either.
You know?
Yeah, that's what I. That's what I told
Simple as that.
I mean, I would definitely. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't trust anybody that did that. But also, I mean, that's something you should definitely confront them about.
But if you really did like it, you know.
Maybe that's your fetish.
Yo, that's such a weird conundrum because we always say personality, 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 but like, yo.
And I mean, that's true, but like.
She straight up lied.
Pleasure
like,
catfish.
It's a personality flaw at the end of the day.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
And then at the same time, relationships, I truly believe, cannot be built on lies because if they're built on lies, they never work.
Always built on trust and communication.
100%. Cameron, I think this is the final question.
Yeah, this is the final question, and this is a sports question for the prime time.
Yeah,
let's.
Y'all.
All right. I just want to say I love y'all's content. Keep it up. The question is for the primetime boys. I'm from Portland and think Dame Lillard is MVP. Thoughts?
I thought that was
while I think that Dame has had a like incredible end of the year post All-Star break, I mean, their winning streak they went on was, you know, nothing but impressive, beating high-quality teams on the road and at home. And look, we just watched the OKC game, and Dame made a huge shot. You know, he's got the clutch performance, you know, that a lot of guys don't have. And Dame can do it all. I mean, Dame can score. from the three. He can drive. He can dish it. I mean, Dame's definitely a top 3-point guard in the league. But the problem with Dame is that while he's doing all this stuff right now, the competition that he's facing, he's outside of the top five. He might be scratching fifth, but he's not going to touch Harden. No one's touching Harden this year. And what AD has been doing all year long, and he's been able to, you know, bring it to another level, has brought AD into second. And I think then you have guys like LeBron, you have guys like Kyrie's season, and you always have KD and Steph. I mean, look, Dame, no one's going to say on the show that Dame is not a top, you know, 15 player in the NBA, but he just made his first All-Star game. So a guy making his first All-Star game, you know, not really doing a whole lot more than what he's done over his career, doesn't show me that all of a sudden he's having an MVP performance over his other years. That's my thoughts.
Okay, Damian Lillard, he's an MVP candidate, but he's definitely not an MVP. James Harden is the best player in the league. I mean, Damian Lillard, he's the Portland Trail Blazers are now third in the West, which is a big accomplishment, but James Harden is having the better statistical season, and they're the best team in the West. They broke a record. I mean, this is the most team wins in history led by James Harden. So James Harden is locked. It's for sure MVP of the year. Dame Lillard, MVP candidate. He's having a great year, but he's not the MVP.
It's Dame Lillard's career has basically been overlooked. He was overlooked as a high school recruit, went to Weber State, overlooked as an NBA draft prospect. We ended up in Portland and at a place where no one thought he would have success. And he's doing things in Portland that no one would have expected him to do. Do I think he could be in the MVP? No, I don't think he deserves it. I agree with Justin that James Harden should be the MVP. But this is just going to be another driving force for Damian Lillard to make his game even better. And he's going to improve even more. And the Portland Trailblazers, if they just need one more piece, because Damian Lillard is there to be the star, and he can take a team deep. He just needs just a little bit of help.
Also, once... say this, Damian Lillard, he's underrated. People don't talk about him enough, but he definitely is a superstar. I don't want anyone to think he's just a star. He is definitely a superstar. This guy's one of the clutchest players in the NBA. I don't think we've... I mean, of course, they normally make it like to the second round of the playoffs, so we don't really hear too much about the Trailblazers, but they always play the second round tough, first round tough, and Damian Lillard always shows up. He's definitely a superstar. And I don't want anyone to ever, you know, downplay Damian Lillard. He's a superstar.
When we did finally see an MVP not be Steph or LeBron, it was KD. And, you know, KD had to have an excellent year. But at the same time, then we saw Westbrook. And why was Westbrook MVP?
Triple-dub, baby.
He was a triple-dub guy. And you look at Dame Lillard, he's not even averaging a double-double right now. So while he's a pure scorer, his impact to the game is felt from a scoring, from the scoring standpoint. It's not really felt overall as a team game. And the most valuable player must be an all-around player.
And his impact isn't felt league-wide. When you look at guys like LeBron James, league-wide impact. Steph Curry, league-wide impact. Kevin Durant, league-wide impact. Damian Lillard, to me, my guy, isn't even in the top five in MVP voting. It goes James Harden, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and then maybe Giannis Antetokounmpo. And that's the five. So Portland's a good team, but y'all not getting out the second round. Much love to you, my brother. Thank you for listening to the Bros Who Think podcast. Check out Primetime. So I wanted to finish this episode with talking about the Infinity War trailer. I wanted to get my movie people on, and I wanted to finish this
garbage
podcast.
Just kidding.
I wanted to finish this podcast talking a little bit about Marvel, because Marvel's about to do something huge. As much as I'm a Marvel, as much as I have my love-hate relationship with Marvel, this Infinity War thing is huge. This is an accomplishment that's bigger than anything we've seen, and I think this makes the superhero genre solidified as something more than a flash in the pan. So I want to get y'all's thoughts on the trailer and y'all's thoughts on the movie coming up.
Real quick, I just want to say all those Infinity War is the biggest crossover event tweets on Twitter are
amazing.
Hella stupid, but I enjoy them so much. Oh, yeah. Like every single one of them is like one of those like almost like dad jokes that makes me roll my eyes, but I also enjoy every single one, and 100%. I laugh at everyone.
So Cam, I want you to lead it off, man. What's your thoughts on the trailer? What's your thoughts on Marvel doing this, and just how you feel? Any speculation you have, Let it on. Oh, let God. It ride.
I'm so excited for this freaking movie, man. This is literally the accumulation of our childhood all in one movie. We get to see literally everybody and more. Probably yeah. We don't even know what we're going to see.
I'm expecting a Captain Marvel, maybe like cameo or something.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I think she is. Spider-Man looks dope. Thanos looks dope. What are the
Fans review. Dope.
Dope, yeah. What are the
you're talking about the henchmen?
The henchmen, yeah.
They're his Knight Riders. But that's not the four people.
Dude, that one scene with Doctor Strange and all the needle things in his body. Yeah,
looks crazy, I was talking to Schubert last night about it, and it looks to me like there's three separate storylines that are gonna come together. There's what's happening on Wakanda, mm-hmm. there's happening with Tony and Tony's crew, and then there's Thor in the Guardians, and then all that ties that together is Thanos in the middle. And what I've heard from the directors is that this movie is Thanos' movie.
Right.
And if Marvel can accomplish that, they've done something that they've never done, and they've told a villain story. They've stepped into DC territory, and if they can do it right, I'm really excited
for
it.
And they said that Thanos is essentially the Darth Vader of the Marvel universe.
If they can make this like right, it could be like Dark Knight level.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. Yeah.
Villain, like it just. Also, I have a question to pose to y'all. Do you think Captain America's gonna die?
I do. I think Cap and Tony die.
I think Tony dies. I don't know about Cap. I'd hate to see it happen, but they gave him long hair and a beard, so he might be done.
I think
done.
They both got
to
kick the bucket for the Marvel Cinematic Universe to mean something. Tony has to die.
One of them has to die.
Well, at least one. Like in the comics, doesn't Steve die and Bucky takes over as Captain America? Yeah. Isn't that correct?
Tony dies and he gets a replacement, and Steve dies and Bucky takes over, or Falcon takes over. And I don't think Bucky's taking over because Bucky took on the mantle of White Wolf. If you look at some of the news that's been dropping, he's gonna be a Wakandan soldier under the title White Wolf. So I think that's his new persona. Like, I think
is that what that end scene was with mm-hmm. Shuri and
That's why they said look the White Wolf, and they're like leave him alone. So like he's getting a new arm that's gonna have Wakandan technology, might have some of that kinetic energy stuff.
I think Vision's gonna die, and I think Tony's gonna die. I don't think Captain America's gonna die.
You think they're gonna kill off that many people?
I think they have to kill at least. It's a war.
I think they have to kill at least two.
Four?
Oh. I think they have to kill at least two between Infinity War 3 and 4 for this like thing to matter. For Marvel to be serious, they got to kill at least two.
Wait,
people.
how many are there coming the, up?
Okay, well,
there's
Infinity
one,
War, and then there's Avengers 4 when they first said it was part 1, part 2. But what happens in Infinity War? What happens in Avengers 4 is directly tied to Infinity War.
And then when is Ant-Man and the Wasp coming out?
That comes out in July, I believe. Yeah. So everything's like happening so soon.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see. I want to get Schubert's take because Schubert's not a big Marvel guy, and what he says might upset y'all. So Schubert, give us your take.
I'll fight you.
I'm not gonna dive too much into it. I'm really worried about it being a little too busy because I mean there's a lot of people involved and like. You know, there's certain characters that more people care about than other characters, so it's just like, how are they going to please everybody, or how are they going to, I guess, please every actor, too, because, I mean, that's a lot of people to give some screen time to. Really, the thing that really excited me the most was seeing Chris Pratt on screen with
Tony
Stark, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
that
crazy.
Dynamic's going to be hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be such a crazy dynamic, because you think about it, he's a guy who never really spent... Well, he spent his childhood on the Earth, but then he went away, so he doesn't really know anything about like Earth or what's going on and like sayings and things like that. So like they're gonna say a lot of things he's just gonna like not gonna understand, and like he's gonna talk his own certain way that like he knows that he's smarter than all these guys, but like they're not gonna take him seriously because he's just this dude that came from space. So I'm really excited to see how that all works out, but I am just really concerned about us going from place to place and. Focusing too much on this person and not enough on this person. You know, the one person that we haven't mentioned that was completely absent from the trailers, Hawkeye.
And Ant-Man and Wasp.
And Ant-Man and Wasp. I assume that's because of their movie. Because we just don't... They don't want to give away what's going to happen mm-hmm. in that movie, too. So, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just... I'm always skeptical about Marvel because I don't really like the characters.
So I mean,
let's take his mic away.
But I think it's going to be a pretty good movie, and like I'm excited for some of the people that I'm personally excited for.
100%.
I actually have to agree with him about like the jumbleness of some of these movies. Where, I mean, I think we all have our favorite characters, right? Like, if you see like a glimpse of your favorite character in the trailer, like. Honestly, I saw like 10 of them, so it's like I really want to go see this movie. So, but at the same time, like if like one of my favorites like doesn't get this, you know, screen time, like you saw a glimpse of Spider-Man, like I want to see some Spider-Man in this movie because you really don't see him in.
You're gonna get a lot of Spider-Man
and
in this movie.
I think what's gonna save all your worries is y'all are gonna be introduced to a new favorite character in Thanos because I think it will be Thanos' movie and he's gonna be the common thread to link all these other. Stories that are happening.
100%.
And if they put the whole movie on his shoulders and that character can hold that movie, I think that would be the most perfect way to accomplish that.
Yeah, and I think if they do it, I think that says that Marvel's into a new direction. Phase 1-3 was about the heroes, and it showed that we can make a hero movie. Mm-hmm. Black Panther. To me, starts the what I hope is the new Marvel Renaissance, where they take chances and they show different stories, a villain story with Thanos in Infinity War. We got an all African American cast with Black Panther, Ant-Man and the Wasp. We see a female. Honestly, that's more so Wasp movie than Ant-Man. And honestly, it took Marvel forever to give a female her own movie, but I consider that the first. And then we're gonna see Captain Marvel get it.
Okay, but to be fair, it took DC forever to do it too.
Hey, but we get it first. Shout out Wonder Woman.
I have nothing. Against DC, but I hope that this inspires DC.
No, Wakanda stole that from Wonder Woman, so get the fuck out of here, bro. Wonder Woman did it first, so you're not doing that. You're not doing that.
Oh my God.
This one, not this one.
Knows his shit.
Face the camera.
Shout out. Shout out to my DC people. You dig?
But I wish DC. I hope this inspires DC to start letting their directors take chances too.
100%. And I think we see that. I think now that Zack Snyder's gone. Even though I don't think Zack Snyder was the problem, it was.
I don't either. It's Warner Brothers.
DC conversation.
Because she said
my
something.
My bad. I didn't say something about it.
She said
but,
something.
But
I have
that's
to
that's Warner Brothers. That's yeah, that's all on Warner that's, Brothers. That's blame, not on their directors.
I blame the person who was the chief of staff, the guy who's in the head executive. But now that we have Geoff Johns, we have the guy that worked with James Wan directly, Hamada. Those people are in charge of it now, and we saw with Patty Jenkins what she could do. We're gonna see what James Wan can do. Shazam, what I hear, I'm loving everything I'm hearing. And I love the director, David F. Sandberg. We're going to see DC get to their right roots. I hope so, but we're not talking about that right now.
Wait. David F. Sandberg of Kung Fury fame?
I think so, yeah. He's doing Shazam, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Yeah, see, I told you. Just have faith. Because my thing is this, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about DC before I'm done. Their characters are some of the most compelling characters in just comic book history. They have some of the most compelling characters to me. Like, before this whole Marvel Renaissance, Tony Stark was a C-list character. He was a D-list character. Nobody knew who Tony Stark was. Thor was a D-list. Captain America was B-. Marvel's biggest character were the X-Men and Spider-Man. They didn't own them. They made them into prominence. But if you ask an old lady who's 70 years old, name me three superheroes they know, I guarantee you Batman and Superman are one of them. Or at least two. So the compelling characters that they have, they just have to get it right. But I'm so excited for Infinity War. We're gonna do a review of it. We've all talked that we're gonna go see it the day it drops. All of us, we're not gonna talk about it until we get on this podcast. My voice will be better. We're gonna do it for you guys. We're gonna give you a review. But this has been episode. We're just gonna call this end of the year special, end of the month special.
Okay.
So this is March's.
Let it ride.
Yeah, let it ride.
Let it ride. So. Everybody, let you tell people where they can find you on social media, starting with Cam, and we're going to go down the line.
You can follow me on Instagram at Captain Comerica. Lucia?
That's it?
You don't want to tell your art or your Twitter page?
And at CJ Design and Art.
I was 100%. Like, that's it?
Yeah.
I am Lucia _Bell on everything. That's Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, the good stuff.
You can find me personally at Crease30 on Twitter, but also follow the Primetime Podcast on Twitter, Primetime Pod, BWT. Don't forget Take the L. Yeah. Follow them on Twitter as well.
I'm really bad at plugging my own podcast.
New episode will be coming out in 2 weeks? Not this upcoming week, the week after?
We've been taking so many L's.
They've been taking lots of L's, so it's going to be like a super L coming out.
Yeah, super L.
But we've got a new episode coming out Monday. Check it out. We got a great interview with Jesse from Bourbon Street Shots. And on our point five, we're going to be interviewing Jim Eichenhofer. So really looking forward to that. Lots of great content. Keep supporting us and support all the shows on the network.
Okay, sorry. I seen it by you. Sorry, bro. But follow Take the L, Bros Who Think Podcast, Primetime Podcast on all social medias. You can also follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat at JustinBaptiste22, and also on TradesandLakes.com and TheFrontRow.com.
Yeah, you can find me at AShuber14 at Twitter, Instagram.
100%. The mic bag.
Oh gosh.
So, but taking that's notes. Awesome. Justin always promotes his Snapchat. I'm like, that's my guy. Let these people know. Follow me on Snap. But yeah. You can follow me at Berlin the Don on Instagram, at Berlin the Don on Twitter. My guy said it enough. Follow, support all the networks. I don't have to plug it. They did it enough. But I will say this: rate, review, subscribe.
Please.
Rate, review, subscribe, please. Because the more you rate, review, and subscribe us on iTunes, Stitcher, the more it helps us to make incredible content for you guys. So I just want to say please and thank you for all the support you've given us. Follow the Bros Who Think Network, follow Take the L, follow Primetime Podcast, support all the shows. But I want to give a shout out to my friend Lucia. She had a credit on a movie and I'm so excited for it. Lucia, just plug your movie real quick and just tell people why they should watch it.
Well, it's not my movie, it's my friend's movie, but I've helped produce it. But it's called Almost Blue and you can find it on the Abstrants Vimeo page. And it is about a mobster-esque character that learns the first cardinal rule of being in the business, which is snitches get stitches. So
that just sold me and Schubert are watching this tonight. But I keep bringing back to that joke y'all had at the beginning. I'm not helping myself at all. It's whatever.
Tell me who gets stitches later.
Yo, it's whatever. Shout out to my girlfriend. She knows the deal. Shout out to my girlfriend. Wait on it.
But she there too?
No, Charles, stop. I'm not gonna let you do that, you asshole. But alright, so this has been the end of the month special. This is episode like 40, 41. It's one of those. But we are the Bros Who Think Network. We hope you have a great weekend and enjoy yourself.
Peace.
That bot, yeah. Pull up on him with a chopper and spark. Yeah, he ain't got no heart.
Yeah,
I keep it real from the start. Yeah, she like a dart. Fully on her, she like a dart. Smoking niggas and smelling like. Riders a nigga, he from the north.